Welcome to the program. We continue today in our series concerning the judges. We looked at Othniel. He's probably the best judge that was recorded here in the book of Judges as far as having some spirituality. Today we'll look at Ehud. Ehud, what a character. Stay tuned. I'm reading in Judges chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. It says here, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees," that was Jericho. "So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. We're going to look at this. Before we do, here's a message and song that we need to take to heart, all of us. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. That needs to be our goal.
All for Jesus, all for Jesus. All my being's ransom powers, all my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours, all for Jesus, all for Jesus. And all my hours, all for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours. Let my hands perform his bidding, let my feet run in his ways. Let my eyes see Jesus only. Let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. Let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. Let my lips speak forth his praise.
Wonder how amazing, Jesus, glorious King of Kings, deigns to call me his beloved, lets me rest beneath his wings. All for Jesus, all for Jesus.
Again, our verse says here in number 12 of Judges chapter 3, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord." That phrase, "the children of Israel," occurs in the Bible 635 times. We find it 60 times in the book of Judges. 7 times in the book of Judges, it says the children of Israel did evil, and a result of their evil, they found out, didn't work out very well for them. So again and again, we read the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 12 concerning Israel, where they came from. It all started in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, with Abraham. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Well, we look at the nation of Israel, and no nation has been blessed by God like Israel. We look at the story of the Red Sea and how God parted it for them and destroyed their enemies, how he fed them in the wilderness. He led them by a cloud by day and a fire by night. Then when they were going into victorious Christian life, is what the Jordan represents, he parted the Jordan for them. He fought the Battle of Jericho and a whole lot of other battles we'll see here in the book of Judges. The story of the burning bush and the time when the sun and the moon stood still so that they could fight their enemies. The Assyrian army, one angel destroyed 185,000 of them for Israel. Then we look at the great men that Israel had, like Abraham and Moses and Joseph and Daniel and David and Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, Elisha, the disciples, Paul the Apostle, and Jesus himself. We look at the fact that the Jews gave us the Word of God. All of it was penned by people that were Jewish. We see them preserved through wars all their lives, and they became a nation again in 1948, and they've been under attack ever since. Years ago, when Frederick the Great asked the court preacher for an unanswerable proof of the inspiration of the Word of God, the reply was, "The Jew, Your Majesty, the Jew." Well, in Judges chapter 3 and verse number 12, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and they went and smote Israel and possessed the city of the palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years." That's a long time to be under bondage. But we read in verse 15, "When the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer." Now there's the mercy of God once again. We read in verse 15 that Ehud was a Benjamite, and he was left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. So we have this little phrase, "but Ehud." Ehud is mentioned 8 times in 7 verses in the book of Judges. In verse 16 of Judges chapter 3, we see that Ehud made him a dagger which had 2 edges of a cubit length, and he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. Now, this was totally opposite. Everybody who was doing anything in the army, they're right-handed, and that's where they would put their sword on the left side and pull it out from over there. And so Ehud, he made him a dagger. Now, 1 Samuel 13:22 tells us that the enemies of Israel took their weapons away when they conquered them. And so Ehud has a homemade dagger. And it goes here to say in verse 17, "He brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab," and Eglon was a very fat man. Well, the present was the taxes that they had imposed on them, and so there's some more people carrying probably bars of gold that they had to take to the king of Moab. Well, it says in verse 18, "And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present." So again, he had some people with him, sent them away. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand for thee, O king, who said, Keep silent. And all that stood by him went out from him. So the king said, all right, this is a secret. Let's keep it a secret. He sends everybody away. There's just him and Ehud. Well, in verse 20, we read, Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor which he had made for himself. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat, and Ehud put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly, and the half also went in, that's the handle, went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. And Ehud went forth through the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them. And when he was gone out, his servants came, and when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, Surely he covereth his feet in his summer chamber. And they tarried till they were ashamed, and behold, he opened not the doors of the parlor. Therefore they took a key and opened them, and behold, their Lord was fallen down dead on the earth. And Ehud escaped while they tarried, and passed beyond the quarries, and escaped to Sarath. And it came to pass, when he was come, that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them, and he said unto them, Follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him, and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over, and they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty and all men of valor, and there escaped not a man. And Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 years. That's 80 years. Now, there's some things we need to realize here. After Ehud went in there and he killed Eglon, he went down and he rallied the people and said, Follow me, for the Lord has delivered the enemies of the Moabites into your hand. Follow me. You got to get involved. It's kind of like this local church age here. And the pastor says, Follow me as I follow the Lord. And the people, if they'll do it, they can win the battles. But our problem today is less than 10% of the people who sit in our fundamental Baptist churches these days are doing anything for God. They come to church once a week and act like they're spiritual. No, follow the pastor if he's following the Lord, and get behind him and help him. And the Bible says that Ehud said God wants to deliver the enemies of the Moabites here into your hand, into the hands of the people. And we read in verse number 29, they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men. They got involved. Oh, that we could get some people in our local churches today to get involved in what's important, to get their focus on things that are eternal rather than on the temporal. Now, we have the phrase, the Lord, the Lord. That phrase is in the Bible almost 7,000 times. And 168 times we find the phrase, the Lord, in the book of Judges. In chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, the Lord raised up judges. And then in chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord raised up a deliverer. His name was Othniel. And then in chapter 3 and verse 15, the Lord raised up a deliverer. And his name here is Ehud. Now, he's only got a dagger. He's got a homemade dagger, and he's going to do what he can do. Now, as we look at this story, it sounds kind of gruesome, but we need to understand that there were some prophecies against Moab. Way back in Numbers 21 and 29, it says, Woe to thee, Moab, thou art undone. Joshua 24:9, the king of Moab arose and warred against Israel. And Judges 3:15, the Lord raised up Ehud to go against Moab. Somebody had to do this. And then he said in Judges 3:28, Follow me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And the people did follow. And we find they slew of Moab at that time, about 10,000 men. Nobody escaped. Somebody had to be used of God to fulfill this prophecy. The people that are against God today and they stand and blatantly oppose the things of the Word of God, you're going to pay. Someday you're going to pay. And we find here that back in this Old Testament era, God raised up some people to do what he said he was going to do. And yeah, it's not very nice that 10,000 people got killed. Not very nice that that fat king got himself killed. But they all made their decisions, and people are making decisions today. As we look at this story at that period of time, I was looking at it the other day, and I thought, is there anything positive going on back there? This isn't a very good story. But if you look into the book of Ruth, it says that when it starts out, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, and the whole story of Ruth takes place at exactly the same time as Ehud is going in here and destroying Eglon. And if you read the story of Ruth, you'll find that they were in that area. They left Bethlehem because of the famine. They went down there to Moab, and they were there about 10 years. And when it was all said and done, Elimelech died, and Naomi was left alone, and then Mahlon and Chilion, her two children, died, and they had married women of Moab, one of them named Orpah and the other named Ruth, and the Bible says that they dwelt there in the land about 10 years. But it came to pass that they left, and you know the story of Ruth. She went back, and she said, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God." And down through there, you have the royal line through which Jesus would come, a very positive thing going on. God has always had a remnant, even in the days when we are like they are here in the book of Judges. Well, then we read in Judges chapter 3 and verse number 31, "And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel." That's all the Bible says about him. One other verse is found in Judges 5 and verse number 6. Gives us a little detail about that time. We're going to look at Shamgar in our next message. We began this program with a message in song that says, "All for Jesus, all for Jesus." As we conclude, let's ask ourselves this question. Is our all on the altar?
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? Can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word, and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. And tell all the love he will send from above. Oh, how happy our hearts will be made. Oh, what fellowship sweet we shall share at his feet when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? Can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul.